Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, this is Jane Lee Grace. Welcome to the podcast. I hope you are really well and doing okay. And I don't know whether things have changed for you if you are in the UK. Of course, this week, a few things have changed. A few more shops have opened up. It's absolutely exhausting trying to hit town centres. I actually had to go out and get something from a shop in the town centre not too far from me the other day. And honestly, it was like some kind of farce with the kind of one-way system set up, but only for part of the road. So then, you know, it's like, oh, some of the inconsistencies are kind of getting to me now a little bit. So it's a little bit exhausting. A friend who said to me on Facebook that he's not going out till 2022 when this is all over. I kind of know what he means. But anyway, I really hope you're well. And I hope the new bubble regime opens up things for you too. I mean, you know, on a serious note, my heart really goes out to you if you have not seen loved ones for a long time. Or if you've been shielding yourself and you really feel isolated, it's just the worst thing, I think, this lack of human connection. And even just the whole thing with wearing face coverings, it's just, I don't know, we're just not able to connect with one another. And I just absolutely, my heart really goes out to you if you're alone and, yeah, all of that. I feel really blessed that I got a trip to Brighton at the weekend. I was so desperate to see the sea, and I had a meeting, and it was just the most amazing thing just to get out into the fresh air and you know, see the sea, which is the kind of the healing for me, really. And it really did wonders for me. It totally lifted my spirits. It was just amazing. You know, I'm thinking of you, whatever's going on for you. I know in other parts of the world, it's slightly different. We have some Sober Club members and we had a Zoom session. And I know in certain parts of America, it's a little different. And, you know, some hotels and places like that are opening up in some states. So, yeah, I'd be really interested to know how things are for you. And how it's affecting you if you've ditched the booze or if you've been doing that during lockdown. And if so, by the way, massive hats off to you. There's been a few Sober Club members who are a little bit conscious and a bit nervous of what's going to happen when they come out of lockdown, because, of course, it has been protective in many ways, because the pubs and the clubs and the bars are not open and there hasn't been the socialising. Then people have been able to skip that awkward bit of having to talk to friends and having to explain yourself and all of that nonsense. And of course, one of the things most, you know, many people fear is the sober shamers when you first ditch the booze. We know that if you stop smoking, people go, wow, well done you, what an amazing thing you've done. And obviously, if you ditch the booze, they say, oh dear, did you have a terrible problem? And go on, just have one, it won't hurt. You know, all the sober shaming that goes on. So, I mean, my top tip, if you have managed to do this hard thing and you're now a little bit nervous of lockdown, is just absolutely prep ahead. It comes back to the same stuff. Just do your preparation, do your whoop on it, you know, your wish, your outcome, your obstacle, your plan. So what exactly do you want to happen when you meet up with friends or when you next do have the opportunity to be in a social situation where you know that the old you would have accepted a drink, you know, without even thinking of it? Really, really plan ahead and decide exactly what you're going to drink. It's really, really important. Don't just wait and hope for the best and hope that the venue or the person's house you're going to has got something nice. They may well not have. So prep ahead, ring them or take your own, you know, better still, just take something to pimp your drink or take your own fabulous alcohol-free bottle of something. You know, people really appreciate it when you rock up with kombuchas or, you know, unusual artisan spirit alternatives and some artisan tonics. And, you know, it can be really fun, but prep ahead and absolutely work out in advance. Well, what's going to trip me up? What might be the obstacle here that stops me from achieving exactly what I want? Which hopefully is to remain happily alcohol free and be really honest with yourself. What is it going to be? Is it going to be a certain person who always sort of triggers you and always forces you, in inverted commas, to drink? Is it going to be just that there isn't anything? Is it going to be that you're kind of hungry or feeling a little bit anxious? You know, what will it be? And plan for that. Really, really make a plan. Make all your plans in advance. If necessary, text people ahead of time, drop them an email and just ask for their support. Tell a fib if you need to, who cares? You know, this is your thing and it's non-negotiable. And the most important thing is just to be totally authentic with who you are and do this hard thing in whichever way is best for you. You know, drive if you can drive home, just whatever it is. But plan ahead. Start planning now for when the social occasions happen, because this is just too important for you to not continue after lockdown. This is the best, most important thing you'll ever do for yourself. So just think, how amazing will it be in a year's time, 5 years time, 10 years time, to look back and say, oh my goodness, yeah, I remember 2020. You know, that fabulous phrase, none of that shit was on my vision board. But you know, you'll be able to look back and say, well, you know, whatever happened for you during lockdown, here's one amazing positive thing. That was when I got sober. How incredible to be able to look back on that. So, yeah, if you want help, please reach out for help. I've got my little free PDF mini ebook, How to Get and Stay Sober During Lockdown. There's a few tips in there. Reach out for help. Get any help that you need. Obviously, check out the Sober Club and find your tribe. Find your like-minded people to support you and hold you accountable. I think that's one of the most important things, you know, because we can all have this stuff going on in our own head, and then we can be telling ourselves, okay, I won't drink tomorrow. I'll start my sobriety journey from tomorrow. And we've all been there a ton of times. And then, of course, it gets to 6 o'clock in the evening and someone offers you a drink and the sun's shining and off you go again. Oh, maybe I'll start tomorrow. But if you've been held accountable and you've actually shared that you're going to do this with a bunch of people who've got your back, then you do have that little sense of responsibility. Wonder whether I should just check in with my own thoughts and just make that decision. Do I really want to follow this thought, this craving through? Or can I actually distract myself, go to something else, have something else to drink? You know, remember my phrase, keep the ritual, change the ingredients. This is so worth doing. And this will be the most important thing you ever do for your own health and well-being. So, yeah, do please prep ahead for what's to come, whenever that might be. I've had a bunch of disappointments this week, personal stuff, various gigs that I had coming up have been cancelled. I'm hugely disappointed. There's a bunch of things that I was meant to be doing in the autumn. I was meant to be doing Panto. Oh my God, I'm so upset if that doesn't happen. And I still don't know for sure, but I don't think it will. I mean, the whole theatre industry, I'm just really... I'm just devastated by all of it, really. So it's been a difficult week for me personally. My retreat that was meant to be at the end of July is not going ahead. And yeah, there's been a lot of stuff going down. But on the other hand, of course, I'm massively grateful for what I do have. And I totally realise there's people far worse off than me, that's for sure. One thing that I think can really, really help whatever is going on for you is to be true to who you are. This thing about just knowing who you are and what it is you really, really want. And to that end, I came across my guest this week, Luke Scott III is his social media name. And I came across Luke's stuff because he does quite a lot of similar stuff to me in that he's the founder of the Standout Speakers Academy. So he works with people who want to learn about becoming powerful public speakers. He's also really into consciousness and spirituality. And he says of himself, his main values are freedom and growth. And he says we can have everything in this life that we desire, but first we have to find out who we truly are and what we truly want. And I just love that. I just absolutely love it. I'm so thrilled to bring you this interview. And he's just a really special guy. And I had absolutely no idea what his thoughts were around drinking. I just wanted him on the podcast anyway, because I just got a sense that he's sometimes people just touch you, you just get this sense that they he did a social media post saying something along those lines, that if you show me a bit of your soul, I can connect with you. That wasn't what it said, but something like that. Anyways, I reached out and he said, yeah, of course I'll be on the show. And you'll get to find out what his views on alcohol are too. So enjoy the interview. It's Luke Scott. So thrilled that my guest is Luke Scott, a world-renowned spiritual mentor, award-winning international speaker and television show host. We're going to get into all of that. Luke is also one of the founders of the Academy of Conscious Sexuality, which runs workshops and retreats and online courses. I mean, there's so much to talk about with you, Luke. I don't know where to start. You know, like me, you wear an awful lot of hats. And it's just absolutely brilliant to speak to you. Checked in with some of the stuff you've done on social media, and I think there's lots of areas where we share the same views. So it's great to be able to chat to you. Tell us a bit about your background then, because despite your amazing success, I read that you actually grew up in a fairly dysfunctional family.
Yeah, like all great movies, we have our humble beginnings.
From rags to riches, eh?
Well, that actually always really appealed to me. I loved learning when I was a kid, and the people I looked up to were like Richard Branson and Alan Sugar, these people who were pretty much self-made. Mm. And obviously, being born in the UK, we have a certain amount of privilege, right? Even if we are from a more modest beginning. So my family life was really interesting. My first experiences with life was living in a little town, seaside town, where there were a lot of drugs and violence, and many of my family members are in that scene. They've been to prison, they have been addicted to drugs and stuff like that. So I knew really quickly that wasn't what I wanted. Mm. I had this gift of being able to envision myself as this really successful business owner who like transformed the world. That was always my vision ever since I was a little kid.
Really?
And so it was like, okay, how do I get out of here as quickly as possible? And how do I make something of myself? And so that was my plan. I managed to go to university. I was the first person in my family to do that. Mm. Got into one of the best business universities in the country, and just started to really shift everything, my mindset, my environment. And thankfully, I was able to find great people to teach me. And now I teach other people, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really interested in even just this first bit, because I have a very similar story in that, I also knew from a very early age that I wanted something different. And I was the first person to go to uni and stuff as well. And I've often wondered, where does that come from? Is that, the whole nature versus nurture argument. Well, in my case, it certainly wasn't nurture. So was it nature? I don't know. Have you ever thought this through? Do you really believe that you were just born with this knowing that you would do something different?
I wrote a whole paper on it at university.
Did you?
Interesting. Yeah. About whether entrepreneurship is taught or learned. And since going on that journey, I actually had a very transformative event. I didn't used to believe in spirituality or God or that there was destiny or anything. I thought it was all complete BS. And then 4 years ago, 2016, I had a big awakening, and I got this connection to this thing this I call it source or God, or you can, lots of people call it different things. And ever since I got that connection, my whole life changed. I get these visions and I saw really clearly that there is a plan, that time doesn't really exist in the way that we think it does, and that we all choose, our soul chooses this life for us. And so, yeah, absolutely, we choose our parents, we choose where we're going to be born. And we wanted to experience that contrast, is what a lot of people call it. So we knew, okay, this really isn't what I want. What do I want? And then that's a powerful platform for manifesting. So that was what I got shown. You chose to have this experience, and a lot of people who are very successful do choose to have that experience. So you can learn, grow, and then when you have the opposite experience, you'll really value it. So I believe, like myself, Janie, you were destined for this. This absolutely was a part of your soul's plan, the universe's plan for you. And now we get to enjoy everything that life has to offer, because we know how the universe works now.
Yeah, totally. So tell us a little bit about where alcohol and drugs, if they did, fitted into your life in the early days. You know, you managed to escape the the town and the scene. But what did you carry with you from those days?
I started drinking alcohol quite heavily from the age of 14. I got my first fake ID when I was 14, and I would be going to all the nightclubs. My friend had a beard and he looked much older, so he was able to get us all the alcohol we ever wanted. And it was constant alcohol abuse from the age of 14 to 27 years old. When I say abuse, I mean drinking a whole bottle of vodka before we would even go out to the clubs. And 3 day, 5 day benders of nonstop, just partying with alcohol, drugs, everything. And when I reflect on why I did that, I know now it was because I was trying to escape. When you are that inebriated, when you are that drunk, or you're that out of it, you have a certain level of an excuse to be wild and speak your mind. And I used to get in fights. I would, it was not a great situation. I have this tooth here, you can see the difference.
Right,
because I got my face smashed in when I was drunk one time, and I don't even remember getting in the fight.
Wow, amazing.
And then I had this awakening, and I realized the negative impact that alcohol and drugs are having on my life. And in the last 4 years, I think I've had three experiences where I've chosen to drink alcohol and get inebriated to a certain level. But it's just not even attractive to me.
Yeah.
I don't need it, whereas I used to need it. And now I can do all the things I used to need to be drunk to do and have an excuse to do. Now I can do them all while sober, and it's more fun, and I don't get hungover, which is a win.
Yeah. So you didn't ever feel you went through that thing of sort of wanting to ditch the booze, but you found it hard. Was it relatively effortless for you then?
No, not really effortless. It was a very social thing. I was working in a big corporate company. We always went out for beers. We always got drunk. And then my friends, that was how we socialized. We went to clubs and parties and festivals and things. That was what we did. We were very rarely sober when we were together. And so that was a problem, because when I stopped consuming those things, I also stopped being able to hang out with my friends in the same way. Because I tried for a long time to go to these clubs sober, and it's okay to a point, but when your friends are really drunk and they start like spitting in your ear when they're talking to you, and people are just shoving you, and you can notice the smells because you're not drunk.
Yeah, it's not so good, is it?
It's not so good. And now I go to these things called sober raves.
We know all about that. Morning Gloryville and the like.
Yeah, sober festivals, all of this stuff where nobody needs alcohol, nobody needs drugs, and it's so much more fun and expansive. Exactly. But I didn't even know those things existed.
What I found interesting is, I you know, obviously I ditched the booze 2.5 years ago, but there were many, many years for me where I was steeped in all things spiritual and optimum health and well-being and you know, all of that. I've been on Hay House Radio for years. I'm a Hay House author. I mean, you know, I there isn't anything that I haven't sort of got the t-shirt on and paper, but there was this missing link. You know, there was this elephant in the room that was drinking. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know there are many, many people who are spiritual, who have had, you know, some kind of conscious experience, and yet they carry on drinking. It's really interesting how we manage to let that one go, because it's the societal norm, I suppose. So I find it really interesting that you know, obviously, you know, and you did it a lot younger than me, and I'm jealous for that, because that's my only regret, that I didn't do it sooner, you know. But I'm really interested that you caught sight of that, you know, presumably relatively soon after you'd had your sort of spiritual awakening. You caught sight of the fact that alcohol was not serving you.
Yeah, alcohol and also different kinds of foods. So health became a top priority for me. I was overweight. I was not fat as such. I since 2016, I dropped almost 4 stone in unnecessary weight. I was eating McDonald's breakfasts, KFC for lunch, or maybe a Subway for lunch. And if I had Subway for lunch, I'd definitely have KFC for my tea. Right? And I was on the road. I was in a high-powered sales job working in a big corporate. So I was just so unhealthy. I was going to the gym, but it wasn't really working for me. And then I was pounding back 20 beers a weekend or something, you know, and it's on a slow one. And it was just unsustainable, drinking most days after work. It was unsustainable. So yeah, 2016, I realized, whoa. And I actually stopped eating animal products, because I watched these documentaries and I started learning how bad animal products are for us. I had no idea the way that they were even made. And it's because of this way we produce animal products now. They're farmed so quickly and unethically. They're just, they're really, really bad for us. And so I stopped that. I stopped the alcohol, stopped the drugs, stopped everything. And I started meditating and I learned yoga, and I became this like total opposite. And my friends thought I was having some kind of mental break. They're like, come on, just come on. You know, you want to get drunk. And I'm like, no, I really don't. You know, I want to go to this meditation class instead.
Amazing. I mean, what's great as well is that for so many people, you know, once they ditch the booze, that's when they start the journey. You know, for you and I, it was slightly, you know, the other way around. Maybe we were already on the path to health and well-being and spirituality, but we realized, you know, the booze had to go. Certainly that was my situation for years. But I now meet so many people who recognize they need to ditch the booze, and then suddenly the world starts to open up to them. And that's just so absolutely amazing to see people blossom as they start to recognize that, oh, hold on a minute, maybe I can now think about health and well-being and fitness and maybe changing career, or, you know, just a new path. Just the world expands for people. It's really amazing. I'm really interested in what your top tips would be for anyone who is in that situation, and they want to start to think about meditation or mindfulness, or they're just right on the edge of all of this. They're brand new to it, but it's starting to feel possible now that they've ditched the booze.
Yeah. The first thing you have to do is you need to get really connected with who you truly are. I was drinking and I was doing those things because I didn't know who I was, and I was so deeply unhappy. I was working in a job that I didn't like. I had friends who didn't really know me because I was going to football matches and the pub and I was doing it, but that's not what I am. I'm like, I love connection. I love intimacy. I love hugs. Right. And I wasn't any of that. I was just like total stranger, and I had this mask on. And when you have the mask on, it's a vicious circle, because at my core, I really wanted people to love me. but nobody even knew who I really was.
Mm. And that's so interesting you say that, because, you know, as you say, you know, you're a young guy, but you started drinking at 14. That's still a lot of years. And for some people, you know, in their 50s, they start drinking as teenagers. They've had all of those years where they're not really in touch with who they really are. And it's really fascinating that they, you know, and in some ways their sort of emotional intelligence stopped way back then as well. So there's quite a lot to deal with when you first ditch the booze. I mean, it can be amazing finding out who you are, can't it? But it's quite a thing after all those years of, as you say, literally masking it.
You get this sense of energy and passion and excitement when you're like doing something you really love. You don't need any external energy because you have so much going on already, right? When I went to this public speaking seminar and this guy told me I could become a public speaker, and I was like, yeah, my whole life became about how do I build a speaking business and going to events and meeting cool people. And like, I didn't even have space. I couldn't, for me to take a day off to get drunk and then a day off to be hungover, that was just didn't make any sense in my life plan now, because I had a purpose. Mm. Most people don't really have a purpose. Mm. They are saving up for their retirement, or they want to get a house so they feel kind of safe. But who wants to be like kind of safe, right? You want your life to be exciting. You want your life to be fun. You want it to be filled with joy. And this is what I want for everybody. And this is why I wrote a book called Find Your Truth. And it's about helping people get connected with who they are. And that is my top tip for every single one of you. Make some space to find out who you really are. Go on a trip by yourself, right? Go on a retreat, go to a seminar, 3-day seminar minimum, like 3 hours doesn't give you enough time. Go on a 3-day seminar where it's just you and your own energy, right? Just get to know you.
Mm. It's so true you say that. You know, I mean, I you know, again, you know, for all those years I was very extrovert and doing a million things, but I didn't like spending time, you know, with myself. You know, I often used to joke that, you know, I couldn't meditate because, you know, I just have a million shopping lists coming in and etc. And the idea of going on something like a silent retreat, I remember someone once told me they were doing a silent retreat, and I just couldn't think of anything worse. Like, seriously, me to be alone with my thoughts? You have to be kidding me. But you're absolutely right. You know, once you've taken away the thing that's numbing you, in order to get back to yourself, that's the important thing, isn't it? And it can be really quite tough at the beginning, can't it? Because you're going to have all this stuff that's going to come up that you have to deal with.
Numbing you is a really important phrase you just said there, because it's not just booze, is it? We numb ourselves with TV.
Exactly.
We numb ourselves with caffeine. We numb ourselves with food. We numb ourselves with sex. There's so many things I had to release and let go of. And I was deeply addicted to caffeine. It's just a part of the corporate culture. I was on like 6 cups of coffee a day. And then I would go home and I'm like shaking, right? And I'd be so grumpy in the morning unless I had it. And thankfully, I have this thing inside of me. It's that it's a benefit and also sometimes it can be a challenge. I don't like anything to have control over me. Mm. I am very independent. And as soon as I noticed, wow, I'm addicted to coffee, boom, has to go. Oh, wow, I'm addicted to watching TV, boom, has to go, right? It's like, and as we peel back these addictions and these numbing agents, that's where you find out who you really are. But it is uncomfortable. Mm. It's uncomfortable to sit with yourself.
Yeah.
And most people are too scared to do it. But then they're just living this little tiny little shallow life, which is what I did for most of mine. And so I just want to shake everyone. I just want to shake you and say, come on, come hang out with us. Come to our retreat. Come play with us. Come to our event, right? Go find some friends who really get you.
Yeah. Finding your tribe is so important, isn't it? Really is.
Yeah.
You talk about, you know, the importance of finding your purpose. That's something I love teaching as well. And, I just think it's really, really amazing when people do catch sight of a dream that can feel possible. You know, and you're right, because most people have got something that they want, but then they'll caveat that by saying, oh, but you know, maybe I'll think about it when the kids leave home, or you know, it's always when. So how do you think we should just grasp hold of what it is we want? And what about for those people who say, I genuinely don't know?
You have to change your environment. You have to get around other people who are full of life. If the people around you right now are zombies, and I mean that with all respect, I was a zombie. I was doing the same job day in, day out. Every day was the same. Every night was the same. The weekends were always the same. I knew what was going to happen before it even happened. And we're saving up for this house or something, right? Because then we'll be happy. Like what? When I get my promotion in 3 years, then I'll be happy. But I got the promotion, and guess what? More of the same.
Right? Yeah.
And so you have to change your environment. Go find people who are full of life. Go to a seminar. Go to a Zumba class. Go to whatever. Right. Whatever turns you on. Yeah. Go do it. If it's gardening, go to a gardening club. Right. If it's whatever, just go. And when you're around other people who are inspiring, you become inspired.
It's so very, very true. It really is. It really is so true. It's the, you know, opposite of addiction is connection thing, isn't it? And finding your tribe. So important. There's a ton of things I could ask you about. Tell me about your view on the law of attraction. We'll just explain what that is for people who haven't heard that phrase before.
Absolutely. I am a massive geek. Okay. Massive geek. You want to talk science? Let's go deep into science, physics. Let's go. And I didn't used to believe in anything spiritual, law of attraction, none of it. I was like, if it doesn't have a peer-reviewed scientific paper, then I don't believe it. Okay. Show me your studies. Mm-hmm. And so that was my limited experience. But I'd heard of this thing. But even though I'd studied physics for a long time, I still didn't really understand this concept of energy. That everything in the universe is energy. You are energy. I am energy. This computer is energy. This sound that's coming out of my mouth right now is energy. And so everything is this vibration. And one of the key things that the law of attraction teaches, but you have to really understand this, is that whatever you're vibrating at, you will attract more things that that are aligned with that. And it's really simple to understand, because if you're miserable all the time, really happy people don't want to be around you.
No, that's right. You attract more misery. Absolutely.
It's so painful, isn't it? Like to be with someone who's just always
it drains your energy.
Yeah. And so you'll only attract people who can stay in that environment. That's just like a very real, easy to understand example. So if you want to be inspired, hang around with inspiring people. But you need, and by doing that, you are becoming inspiring, right? You're saying, I wanted something different in my life. I could be, one of my students, she's amazing. Her kids have all left home. She had three kids, they all left home. And now she's in her 50s. And now she's starting her own business as a coach, as a healer, as a public speaker. This is what I do. I teach people how to become public speakers. And so she's like, she has such an inspiring story, because she can say, it doesn't matter if you're 50. I have someone in my academy who's in their 70s, right, and they're just starting out. You can make your life amazing from tomorrow. You just have to make different choices. And it all starts with you taking that step. And that step is inspiring. So you have to become what you want to attract. So if you want, if you want people around you who really love you, you have to be really loving. You have to be able to receive it. And most people don't do that. I didn't do that. I really wanted people to love me, but I was pretending so much. I used to pretend to be so excited about football matches. I couldn't give a single, I'm not going to swear. I don't know if we're allowed to swear.
You're welcome.
I don't give a single one of those about football, right? I couldn't care less. But what I did love spending time with my friends. I did love how guys, when their team wins, they're so excited. We're hugging each other. We're even crying, right? Yeah, come. It's one of the only chances they give themselves, where I lived was in Newcastle, it's a big football city. One of the only chances they give themselves to show their emotions.
And yeah, absolutely.
I loved that. They didn't give a damn about the football.
Yeah, it's really true. So true. And then just what about people who are, you know, right now just feeling so completely out of sorts and just really quite depressed. Where do they start?
This is a crazy time.
Isn't it?
One of the craziest times that has ever existed on our entire planet. And there's always a silver lining, right? There's always something beautiful there. But with depression, I have had times where I've spent like two whole days in bed and just crying. And I don't even want to eat because I'm in such a dark place. And my wife, she's actually a mental health campaigner. She works with Parliament and the government on mental health policies. And so this idea of being depressed, understanding, and you won't get told this in many places, depression is an emotion. Mm. It's an emotional state.
Yeah.
It's a very low vibrational emotional state.
Yeah.
It's not a long-term illness. This is not something you suffer from. This is a state you are choosing to be in. And that can be uncomfortable for some people. Now, there are times where you can be so depressed, you need intervention, you need help. And I totally respect that. But for most people, what they need, and it was Jim Carrey who actually said this, and it really resonated with me. He says, when you are depressed, what you need is deep rest
from
this character that you are playing.
Yeah.
Take a break from yourself. Just stop pretending.
Mm.
Well, if you're depressed right now, it's because you are so far out of alignment with what the universe wants for you. We talked about it at the start, right? The universe has this plan for you. Your plan might be to become president. Your plan might be to become a landscaper. Your plan might be to have a wonderful family. And if you're not being in alignment with whatever your plan is right now, you're going to feel really, really bad because your emotions are your emotional guidance system. When you feel in those low vibration places, it means you are out of alignment. So you have to figure out how can you... And if you need support with that, find someone. Find an energy worker, find someone who can really support you through that process. And I would say, if I give some recommendations, because I did therapy for many, many years, and conventional therapy didn't work very well for me, because the therapists that were trying to help me, they just kept me stuck. We kept reliving the same things. And what actually really helped me was when I started working with people who understand energy. So I do something called quantum regression therapy, which is wonderful. You can also, there's people who do theta healing. There are so many different like holistic therapies that are not woo-woo. They're completely legit. And I would go recommend check out something like that.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I hope your wife is, able to try and with the work that she does with mental health stuff. We need a massive change in the way alcohol is viewed in the terms of the whole picture. I mean, this is something we've spoken about a lot, but so many people, you know, report to GPs or whatever with mental health issues, with depression, with severe anxiety, and they're never asked how much they drink. And yet actually the link is massive.
I absolutely believe that most people's conditions are energetic. Or whatever the thing is that's showing up, it's because there's an imbalance in your energy somewhere. And once you figure out what that imbalance is, things will flow. It's like you've got a hose pipe, right? And this water's trying to flow through, but there's a big knot in the middle of it. You have to get rid of the knot. Once you do, things flow and then everything gets better.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tell us what you're working on at the moment, Luke. You've got another book coming out. Tell us about the books that you've got and the book that you've got coming out.
Yeah, so really exciting. My book is just about to be published. It's called Find Your Truth, and it's a guide to living a connected life filled with purpose. It's for people who are on this awakening journey, and it's 13 chapters and 13 processes. The number 13 is quite important for some reason, and you can look that up if you want to know why. We're told it's an unlucky number, but it's not. And it's how to get really connected with yourself, how to live a fulfilled life. It's everything I've learned since I started doing personal development when I was 18. So it's that 14 years ago, I went to my first personal development seminar. It's everything I've learned. And it's just a guidebook for how to do that, because there are literally millions of people on the planet waking up right now, millions of people who are looking for guidance. And this is why I believe the universe has set me on this journey of being a public speaker, so we can help these people make their journey smoother. So instead of them taking 14 years like I did, maybe they can take 14 weeks or even 14 days. You'll be surprised how fast you can change your life when you really want to. And so that's my call to action for every single one of you, is just decide you want your life to be better. Go get around people that will support you. And I can't tell you it will be all sunshine and rainbows. I can tell you that a part of bringing more light into the world is looking at the shadow. If you're anything like me, you'll have a lot of demons to face, and you have to own those. But it's the most rewarding journey you can possibly go on.
Yeah, absolutely. And just remind us of your website.
Yeah, website is lukescottofficial.com. If you have any questions, queries, you can just comment and message me on there. It also has all the links on there to my social media. So connect with me everywhere. I post so much content. Just yesterday, I did 13 posts on my social media channels. Wow. I was so inspired yesterday. I was like, just, it was coming through. I just couldn't stop. And yeah, I really encourage everybody. If you feel like you have something to share with the world, there has never been a better time for you to become a public speaker. Like, this is the time. So many people are looking for leaders, and and whatever you've been through, you can help other people who are going through the same thing.
Yeah, I so agree. I think, you know, it's so important if you've got a message to share that you can just feel it so strongly, and just it just needs to be out there, right? Brilliant. I love it. Love the work that you do. Thank you so much for being a guest. I really, really appreciate it. It's been really fantastic to talk to you. Look forward to the success of the books, and look forward to doing some work with you maybe at some point in the future.
Wonderful. And thank you, Janie, for being so amazing.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks. So check out Luke's work, and I'm going to be doing some stuff with Luke, with his speakers, with the speaking work that he does, with the Speakers Academy. I do training on how to be a great interviewee, as well as public speaking stuff. So I'm just thrilled to be able to connect with Luke and some of the work that he does. I have asked you before, but I would still love it if you'd be willing to vote for my podcast in the British Podcast Awards. There is a listener's choice vote. I'm pretty sure you've still got time to vote. And it would just mean so much to me if you would do that. You just need to go to BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote. It's the listener's choice, and you just scroll down, and where it says search for podcast, you write alcohol-free life, and you click on there, and then they do send you an email. So if you have voted but you haven't got the email, then your vote won't have gone through. So I wish I'd made that clearer before, because someone told me that the email had ended up in their spam, so then they realized. So you have to do that, and then you just click on it, and then they send you an email just to verify that you are who you say you are. So you have to click that. So I hugely appreciate it. It means so much to me. And thank you, by the way, to those people who have written to me recently saying how much the podcast has meant to them. It means a huge amount to me. You know that I do this week in, week out, because I love doing it. And because I have, you know, such a great opportunity to bring you these amazing people who otherwise I wouldn't get to chat to, you know, if I didn't have the reason, you know, to share these amazing guests with you, I wouldn't get the opportunity to reach out to them. So I'm really grateful that people listen to the podcast and they enjoy it, because it gives me the opportunity to carry on reaching out to great inspirational guests and just hearing other people's stories and hearing these little gems of what's worked for people and how they navigate stuff in their life. And also just knowing that there are people who have kind of been there, done it, got the t-shirt. They've been through what you're going through. It makes just a massive difference, I think. And that's just everything. It all comes back to connection, I think. So I do feel really blessed that I've got some great guests. And I've got lots more amazing people coming up. Really looking forward to bringing you an interview with Susie Pearl, who's written a great book about creativity. I think that one comes out in the UK first week of August. So I'll run that interview closer to that time when the book's out. Also, Lotta Dan, Mrs. D, as in Mrs. D is going without. She's written The Wine O'Clock Myth. Going to be interviewing Lotta as well. And I'm hoping I've got an interview with Denise Welch lined up I spoke to her people, and I'm hoping that's going to be possible. She's doing some great stuff around speaking out about alcohol and mental health stuff. I'm seeing so much more now. I don't know about you. You know, you always wonder whether it's just because it's on your radar and thinking about it all the time because of this work, or whether it really is so much more prevalent. But I think it is the latter. I've seen a lot of social media posts pop up from people who I hadn't seen before, that, you know, they were necessarily in the sober scene, but suddenly they'll pop up and say, oh, I thought I'd share with you that I'm a year sober or 18 months or whatever, and I feel the best I've ever felt. Just this week again, I've been talking about the fact that, you know, the benefits of sobriety and the fact that it is this gift that keeps on giving. I have mentioned this a few times, this awful phrase. It's so naff that, you know, sobriety is the gift that keeps on giving. How naff is that? But I can't think of a better way to say it, a better way to sum up the fact that month on month on month, year on year, things get better. How can that actually be? It's incredible, really, when you think about it. You'd think that you reach an impasse, you know, you reach a year or whatever, and then it's like, oh, everything's much the same. And I think that worries people sometimes because they think, well, when I've done my year challenge or my 6 month challenge or my 2 year challenge, well, what then? Everything will kind of go flat. But I think, I really think if you, particularly if you focus on scaling up, you focus on what's the next thing you want, what's the optimum health and well-being thing for you, then you really do just carry on getting those benefits. So I said this before, if you can think of a better phrase that really sums it up, I'll find a nice gift for you. No idea what that would be, but I'll find you something. So anyways, please do that vote for me. I'd so appreciate it. Please do rate and review the podcast. I would love to hear from you. Sometimes people drop me a message just to say, listen, you've said that if I'm starting out on this journey, I have to tell someone. Well, that's right, you do. So if you want, you can tell me. You don't necessarily have to tell people that you live with. It might not be any of their business, right? Because you're doing this for you. But tell someone who you know is going to be your champion. You're very welcome to message me. Obviously, I'd love it if you want to check out The Sober Club, thesoberclub.com. There's a bunch of blogs there. Still got some competitions, by the way, to win some alcohol-free drinks. And we're going to be, in fact, we've got a competition just about to launch to win some unlimited beer. And I'm going to be interviewing John from that brand. So look out for that competition. You'll find everything at thesoberclub.com. I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.